Okay, we're on Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph.
31B1?
31A3. We didn't get to the next page. We're just in the middle. Okay. The Gemara was discussing over here, to discuss actually what's going on over here. We learned that if you have capital punishment and it's simultaneously a monetary fine, because you get capital punishment, you don't have to pay the money. But we learned that Rabbi Chunin ben Akana holds, not like our Mishnah, that even if when Hashem kills you, when it's kares, the punishment is that God makes you die younger, so even then you don't have to pay financial responsibilities. So the last thing the Gemara was discussing, this whole story over here, about doing things simultaneously, if you have to pay for it, or not pay for it, and this is what we're up to now. The last thing the Gemara was discussing, what we're in the middle of now, is if somebody shoots an arrow on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry 4 cubits in the street. So what happens, or throw 4 cubits in the street. We're going to see a lot of these details now coming up today. But if somebody shoots an arrow, and it goes 4 amos, see, you're desecrating Shabbos, and while it's shooting, the arrow went through expensive silk garments. So it ruined the silk garments. So, right? So the Mishnah said before that you don't have to pay for the garments. It's not simultaneously, because the linen was broken through before the arrow landed. Until the arrow lands, it's not considered carrying on Shabbos. So he said, because it's, the whole process of carrying is one long process. The picking it up, carrying it out, and putting it down. So that's one long process. So if in the middle of that process, you tore somebody's garment, you don't have to pay. So the Gemara says like this. We probably should have to go through the Gemara that we learned last week. So the Gemara says, but maybe you're picking it up, and then but then when you pick it up in the guy's house, if somebody steals something, okay? I steal this cup on Shabbos from your house. I pick it up in your house to steal it. I take it out and put it down. So we say over there you have to pay for the object, even though you desecrated Shabbos, because you picked it up, that's when you acquired it. That's when you stole it. But you're not considered carrying until you carried it outside and put it down, because that's when carrying is done. So the Gemara says, why? So the Gemara answers, He picked it up to put it away somewhere. He didn't pick it up to carry out, because then it's all one long act. But here he picked it up so therefore he stole it before he desecrated Shabbos, and because it's not simultaneously done, you have to pay for it.
He even stole on Shabbos.
Well, yeah, but that's, so the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says, but you're also not obligated. Because there's a din like this. If I pick up an object with the purpose of moving it around the house, and then I change my mind and I took it out. So when I picked it up, I didn't intend to carry it out. I picked it up to move it around the house. Right? If I pick up an object with the intent of carrying it, and I take it outside and put it down, then I carried. But what happens, the Gemara says, if I picked it up not with the intent of carrying it, I picked it up to move it from in the house, from here to there, whatever. And then all of a sudden, while I'm holding it, I decide, you know, I'm going to carry it out. So then the din is, you're not biblically forbidden on Shabbos. It's rabbinically forbidden.
It's not because you forgot.
It's just that I didn't pick it up. Right. But when I carried it out, I didn't intend to carry it out.
Maybe the doorbell rang and you went to answer.
No, whatever. So it says, okay, the answer is, Gemara says, it was in, he did it with the intent of carrying it out. Okay? He did it with the intent of carrying it out. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. But why is it? Because he stood. Meaning like this. The Gemara is discussing one din that we learned before, and now the Gemara is going to discuss it more. The Gemara said, if I steal a wallet on Shabbos and carry it out, I have to pay for the wallet, because I acquired it before I carried it out. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to try to analyze what is actually the case of it. Because if I picked it up with the intent of stealing and carrying it out, then that's all part of the carrying. I picked it up to carry it. So when I picked it up to carry it, I stole it, and I started the transgression of Shabbos. Correct? Then why would I be chayiv to pay for the wallet? Why would I have to pay for the wallet? If I'm desecrating Shabbos, I'm going to get killed, then I don't have to pay for the wallet. So Gemara answers, this is where we're up to now. The guy stopped before he walked out of the house. In other words, like this. He picked it up to steal it and to carry it out. Yeah? But before he walked out of the house, he stopped. He stood.
Where? Right by the threshold?
Right before the threshold. Now, that ended the first picking up. Now when he goes, walks out, that's carrying. But the stealing he did already before. Correct? When he picked it up to...
He says here, with the case, when he lifted the person, attempted to put it away inside the house, then he reconsidered and took it outside.
Right.
31.83.
Right.
He wasn't going to steal it until he took it outside.
No. He wanted to steal it as soon as he picked it up. He wanted to steal it. But the Gemara's question is, why is he obligated to pay? So the Gemara answers that what we're up to now is, the guy picked it up to steal it and to carry it.
Can you say as long as he hasn't taken it out of the house, he's not considered stolen?
It's not true.
But he had it in mind to steal it.
Yeah, but if I want to steal something in your house from you, I stole it as soon as I picked it up to steal it.
The intention.
I don't have to. If I put it into my pocket, I stole it. I don't have to take it.
That's hidden from the eye, yeah.
So what? Doesn't matter. If I take it with the intent of walking out, I'm stealing. But the Gemara says now, the guy stopped before he walked out. So therefore, now the stealing part's over. Now says a new thing for Shabbos. Now he's starting to walk again. Right? So that's, desecrating Shabbos begins now. And the stealing happened before. So therefore, because it's not simultaneously, even though you're going to get killed for desecration Shabbos, but you're still going to have to pay for the wallet because it wasn't simultaneous. The only time you get capital punishment, and therefore you don't have to pay for damages, is only for simultaneously.
What's an example?
Huh?
What's an example of?
On Shabbos, I took a rock and broke your window. I threw it more than 6 feet. Which is called carrying on Shabbos. I took the rock, threw it through your window. Okay, now I broke your window, and once the stone lands, I desecrated Shabbos. Okay? So I'm going to get killed for desecrating Shabbos, correct? But do I have to pay for the window?
No.
No.
But desecrating of Shabbos is happened as after breaking of the
window. No, but that's what Stigmar said. Because when I threw it, that's part of it.
Is it act when it's completed or no?
It's the middle of the act. It's still the middle of the act. When I pick up a rock and throw it, like Digmar said, with the arrow, I shoot an arrow, yeah, and it goes through your silk garments, and then the arrow lands. So Digmar says, over there, I don't have to pay for the garment.
But you cannot say when the act is not completed.
But here, Digmar says, the guy stopped. So therefore, the stealing act is over now. Now starts a new beginning of a new carrying.
There's two acts.
Right. And they're not simultaneous, so you have to pay for it. But now the Gemara asks, and the Gemara goes into a very interesting discussion, it's all
so
relevant.
You have to pay for the window?
No.
Who's paying for it?
God.
What kind of baloney is that?
Oh, God forbid, don't say that. That's the command.
No, why don't you pay? How come can you take it for the base then?
You could, but Bezdin says if the guy gets killed, Bezdin doesn't have to pay for it.
Excuse me, when they refer to getting killed, are they meaning spiritual?
No.
Or physical?
Well, one opinion says spiritual, but the simple is when the courts give you capital punishment.
But the court can't kill you, there's no...
No, there's being no witnesses, everything, yeah, if not the...
But
the Gemara says like this. If a guy picks something up to steal, okay, the Gemara is going into a little bit of science now. No, really. A guy picks up this thing to steal it and to carry it. And then he stops. Okay, so now he put it down still within the house.
Changed his mind.
Then he decides to walk out. Correct? So desecration of Shabbos is the second act. First act is stealing. It's two distinct separate acts. So therefore you have to pay even though you're going to get killed. But the Gemara says 1 minute. Why did the guy stop? There's two types of stopping. One is, and this we're going to see very interesting Gemara that the Gemara is bringing out. If I walk in the street and I stop to take a break, so then I stopped. What happens if I stopped to fix the package I'm carrying? I'm carrying a package, and it's falling down, so I stopped to fix the package. The Gemara says in Shabbos, we're going to see in a second, that's not called stopping. Because you're stopping just to be able to carry it better. So you're not stopping because you're stopping. You're not stopping to rest. So the Gemara says like this, this is what we're up to now. Amid Lamai. So on Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, the bottom line of the page. Okay? Second word. Amid Lamai, 1 minute. Why did the guy stop? Ilakatev. Did he do it to fix the load on his shoulder? Orche, that's the normal way of doing so, and as the Gemara is going to explain, that means that's not stopping. Ella, it's speaking Eimed Lofush. He stopped to rest. In other words, because he stopped to rest, so that's called stopping, so the stealing part now ends, and the desecration of Shabbos now begins. But the Gemara said, but what would be hypothetically the other way? Avalakatev. But if he stops only to adjust the load. Maya, you're telling me, Potter, the guy would not have to pay for the wallet? Because now he's getting killed for Shabbos. Because he really didn't stop. This that he stopped was only to fix the package. But he's not actually stopping. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, why does it say like this? In that same Bryce it says, the guy was dragging it out. Dragging it out. Part that he doesn't have to pay. Okay, let's analyze this story of the wallet. One second. This is the wallet. Yeah? The guy steals the wallet. Picks it up. This is what the Braisa says. You pick it up. You carry it out. And the way the Gemara explains it, you stopped. And then carried it out. Then you have to pay for the wallet, even though you're going to get killed because it was two distinct acts. What the Gemara says, what happens if the guy didn't pick it up? He dragged it out like this. Okay? And then he drags it out of the house. Correct?
Okay.
So then the din is you don't have to pay for the stealing. Why? Because if I'm dragging it, I never acquired it. I never acquired it. If I pick up your object in the house, by picking it up, intending to steal it, I acquired it. So I stole it. But you can't acquire something by dragging it on the floor. Because it's not picking it up.
It depends on the object too, because sometimes pulling is the...
It depends on the object. Right. An animal, you acquire by pulling. You're right. But not a purse. You can't pick up a horse, a cow. So that if you pull it, then you acquire it. But a tangible item that you can pick up, you're not acquiring it by dragging. Now, the Gemara says like this. The second part of that Braisa says, first part says, you pick it up, carry it, stop, carry it out, you have to pay for the wallet. What happens, the Braisa says, if you dragged it on the floor, and then you carried it out, then you don't have to pay for the wallet. Why? When did you acquire the wallet?
After.
When it went out of the house. Simultaneously, you're desecrating Shabbos for carrying. So therefore, because you're going to get killed, simultaneously you have to pay. But we learned, if it's simultaneous, you don't have to pay. Right? So the Braisa says one din like this. If I pick it up, I'm chayiv. If I drag it on the floor, I'm potter. So the Gemara asks this question like this. Why does this law need to differentiate between picking it up or dragging it? It could differentiate within picking itself up by itself. In other words, it could have said even a better thing. If the guy picked it up, yeah, and stopped to rest, then he has to pay for it. But if he stopped before he walked out, right? The Gemara just answered, he stopped to rest. So then it stopped. What happens though, if he stopped to fix the load, then he would have to be chayiv, right? So why does the Braisa differentiate between picking it up that you have to pay for the wallet versus dragging it that you don't have to pay for the wallet? The Gemara could have differentiated within the same case itself. He picked it up. If he stopped to rest, he would have to pay for the wallet. If he didn't stop to rest, he stopped to fix the package, then he wouldn't have to pay for the wallet because then it's not called stopping. So why does the law have to differentiate? We want to say one case you have to pay for the wallet, one case you don't have to pay for the wallet. So the Gemara is, why are we differentiating between picking it up versus dragging? The Gemara could have said the same law by two cases of picking it up. One that he stopped to rest, and one that he didn't stop to rest. He stopped to fix the package. The fact that the Braisa doesn't do that shows there's something wrong with it, with this idea.
Just a little.
See, it says like this. Why does it say if you slept, if you dragged it? You're potered, niflag v'nisna b'didei, let it differentiate in the case itself, meaning, b'med dvarim amurim, when are you liable for the wallet, v'aymed lafish, when you stop to rest inside the house? But if you stop to adjust the load, which is not called stopping, then potter, you don't have to, then it's not considered carrying. I mean, then you don't have to pay for the wallet because you're going to get killed. And simultaneously, you're acquiring the wallet. So why doesn't it say that? So the Gemara says, Elohamani, this goes a different opinion. It goes like Ben Azai. What does Ben Azai say? Mahalech ka'emidami. Okay? Ben Azai says a very interesting thing. There's a whole argument in the Gemara Shabbos. When a guy walks, Ben Azai says, you know, every time you walk, every step you take, you're stopping. How do you walk? You walk like this. Right? So according to Ben Azai, every step you take is walking. Is stopping. Right? So therefore...
No, I don't agree with that.
Nobody asked you if you agree with it or not, by the way.
That's not true, though.
The law is not like that.
Yeah, but I understand. As a doctor...
This is one
of
them. This is one of them.
All right.
Go ahead. Sorry. I'll tell you where the argument between Ben Azai and the Chachamim is. If somebody walks from private domain through a public domain to a private domain. Okay? Very simple example. You have something in your pocket, you leave shul, which is a private domain, you walk home through the streets, and then you brought it into the house. So you didn't carry from private to public. Because remember, carrying means you pick it up, carry it out, and put it down. See, if I pick it up in a private domain, put it in a public domain, or stop in a public domain to rest, that's called stopping. So therefore, the rabbis, the chachamim hold, that if I carried from private to private through public without stopping, I didn't biblically desecrate Shabbos. I'm not allowed to do it. Rabbinically, it's forbidden anyway. Biblically, I didn't do it. But Nazi says, no. You get killed twice. Why? Because walking is stopping. So therefore, according to Ben Azai, as soon as I walked in the street, I stopped. I keep walking, I started again. So the Ben Azai holds, you're going to be obligated twice. Okay? So the Gemara says it goes like Ben Azai. So now it's like this. So when the Braisa says, the guy picked it up to carry it, it's not really true, because the second he walked, he stopped again. Right? And he stopped, so he didn't, the stealing is over already.
According to Ben Azai.
Right. So Gemara says, but Zedek, but if somebody threw it, my, he would be potter. Again, if the guy threw the wallet, okay, in other words, he throws it out of the house into the public domain. You're going to tell me that he's potter, that he doesn't have to pay? Why? Because if that's the case, again, we should differentiate again in the same case. When you have to pay for the purse, when you walked. But if you threw it, then you potter. Meaning like this. Ben Azai says, if I walk, I'm stopping. Okay? So therefore, if I'm in the house, this is the house. I'm in the house, I pick up the wallet to steal it, but as long as I'm in the house, I already stopped. So I stole first, and then when I keep walking out of the house, that's when I desecrated Shabbos. But if you're walking or standing, that means as soon as I picked up the stolen object, walked one step in the house, I already stole it. When did I carry? When I walked out of the house. So the Gemara says, so again, why does Ben Azai have to say that he dragged it out? The Braisa says, yeah, make a different case. If a guy picked up the object and threw it out the window. Now, according to Ben Azai, did he stop? No. Right? And it's all one malacha. So then he wouldn't have to pay for the purse, because he never stopped. He never acquired it until he threw it out, and that was all one long continuation. But if it was... So why do we need to differentiate? When do you have to pay for the wallet if you picked it up and stopped? But if you dragged it, then you don't have to pay for the wallet. Why do you have to go there? Say very simple. If a guy carried it, he's obligated to pay for the wallet. If he threw it, he doesn't. Why do you have to go into schlepping on the floor and that whole differentiation? Make a simple difference. You picked it up and carried it out, you have to pay for the wallet because it's two separate acts. But if you threw it, then you don't have to pay for it. So the Gemara says, Megadir v'yetz, you're right. It could have said that. But it wants to tell us a new din. That when you drag it out, you don't have to pay for it. Why? I would think that that's not the normal way of carrying. In other words, we learned already many times, in order to be biblically desecrating Shabbos, it has to be done the normal way of doing it. Correct? If it's done in the not normal way of doing it, it's only biblically forbidden. Okay? So the Gemara says like this, I would think that if a guy is dragging a wallet on Shabbos out of the house, I would think that's not the normal way of carrying things. So maybe you wouldn't have to get desecrated Shabbos. So it says, no, you're desecrating Shabbos, and therefore you don't have to pay for the wallet. Because simultaneously you're desecrating Shabbos and stealing the wallet. And that's what it wants to teach us. But you're right. If a guy picks up a wallet, according to the Gemara now, if a guy picks up a wallet, walks out, he's going to have to pay for the wallet, because according to Ben Azai, you stop before you walk to the house, because anytime you walk, you're stopping. And if a guy threw it, then Ben Azai would say, you don't have to pay for the wallet, because you're going to get killed for Shabbos, and it happens simultaneously. But it wants to teach us another din, that if a guy stole by dragging the object on the floor, and when he went out of the house, I would think maybe he did not desecrating Shabbos the normal way. Because it's not the normal way of doing it. So the Rashi says, no, it's the normal way of doing it. And therefore,
how's he dragging it? He has a string attached to it?
What is that?
Who thinks of these things?
The Gemara.
No, I mean, God. Where do they get these ideas from?
God.
Hashem gets these ideas.
It's all God's Torah.
It's hypothetical.
No, it's not. These cases happened.
Really?
They can happen.
Really?
Of course.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. The example we said before. I'll give you an example where it's very practical. Hello. Doc, listen. A guy walks out of shul, let's say there's no Erev, there's whatever, in a place you're not allowed to carry. A guy walks out of shul,
right.
And then while he's walking, right. He realizes he has something in his pocket.
Right.
What's up?
Obviously. Otherwise he brings a Ralph's bag. So now, the guy...
Interesting example.
What should he... He's walking in the street... And all of a sudden he touches his pocket, he says, oh my gosh, I'm carrying something. What should that person do?
You should give it to me.
Sorry. Later.
Just keep.
So what?
You're not allowed to carry a key on Shabbos?
You can't carry anything on Shabbos. But let's say he's carrying some cholent that he stuck in his pocket. Okay? What should the guy do?
He should just keep walking.
No. Because if he stops, he started carrying from the private domain. Now he's stopping in the public domain.
I think he has to walk all the way
What back. We said before is, right. If a guy walks from private to private without stopping through the public, it's not biblically forbidden, because he never stopped in the public domain.
Oh, really?
So what the guy does, like the joggers do, you know, by a red light?
Right.
He can't stop. He continues walking. He doesn't have to jog. He just keeps walking, because the second he stops, he's transgressing the biblical prohibition of carrying on Shabbos from private to public. And then if he starts again, he's going to carry again from public to private. Because he can't carry from private to public or public to private. Right? So if a guy is going, here's his house, here's the street, here's the shul, here's the street, here's his house. He's walking out of shul or his house, doesn't matter which way. Right? And he realizes in the middle of the street he's carrying something. What you're supposed to do is keep walking.
No.
Until you get to another, non-stop.
So you get to?
Until you get to your house. So then you only carry from private to private through public, but you never put it down in the public. And carrying by definition, like we learned, is when you pick something up, carry it in or out, and put it down. So that's what a person should do.
Not according to Benazi.
According to Benazi, it's not going to help, but Allah is not like Benazi.
Excuse me, did they not take into consideration that someone has house keys or anything?
It's the way of doing it.
That they have to carry.
Yes, it is a way of doing it. You wear a belt with a key on it in a certain way.
What does he do? He goes backwards
and
he Shabbat key?
No.
Okay.
He has to keep walking until he gets to the
show you. Okay.
What about a shelter? For Uber.
Okay. So now the Gemara says, Ubamai. What type of purse are we talking about? Okay? If it's a very big, large purse, which is too big to carry, means probably a safe, if you guys stealing, so then dragging is the normal way of doing it.
Correct.
If it's too heavy, then dragging is the normal way of it. If it's a light thing, then again, dragging is not desecration of Shabbos because it's not the normal way of doing it. So Gemara says like this: it's a very, very big purse. Okay, let's say a safe, yeah, that you can't lift it. Orcho, then dragging is the normal way. So then you would be desecrating Shabbos carrying it, dragging it, because that's normal. Ibadutra, if it's a little one, lav orcho, it's not the normal way of doing it. So Gemara answers: mid-sized ones. What does it mean, mid-size? Normally, you sometimes drag it, sometimes you don't drag it. So the Bryce is telling us that when you drag it, because again, if it's a little purse, nobody drags little purses. So then obviously you're not desecrating Shabbos the normal way of doing it. If it's a heavy purse, right, then that's the normal way of doing it. So you are normally desecrating Shabbos. So Gemara says, no, it's speaking of middle-sized purse. In other words, we learned this thing also by Shabbos. In order to biblically desecrate Shabbos, it got to be done the normal way that you do it. Okay, so let's say I carry out this thing on Shabbos. Okay, I pick it up, carry it in the street, put it down, I desecrated Shabbos, right? What happens if two people carry it out?
That's not the normal way.
Me and you together carry this little thing out in the street. No, intentionally. The bottom line is, we are both not biblically desecrating Shabbos. Rabbinically is forbidden. But biblically, why? Because normally this is carried by one person.
Right.
It's not normally carried by two people.
Right.
Therefore, if two people carry it out, it's not the normal way of doing it. Just like, for instance, if somebody flicks the switch with their foot. I'm not talking about a foot pedal on a lamp. That's the normal way of doing it. But if the guy, normally with your finger, you flick the switch, that's called desecration of Shabbos the normal way. If a person kicks it with the foot, it's not the normal way. Or with the elbow. So then it's only, it's forbidden, but it's rabbinically, not biblically.
Yes.
Okay, now. What happens though, What happens though, listen, what happens though, if it's a heavy table, if it's this table, most of the time, two people carry out the table, not one person. It's too heavy for one person to carry the table. So then, if two people carry it out, because that's the normal way of carrying this object, then both get desecration of Shabbos.
But if it's five people carry it out...
Again, it depends on the normal thing of the table. Now, what is the same thing with dragging in this? The Gemara says, if it's a very heavy safe, yeah, then you're going to drag it out. That's the normal way of doing it. But if you're going to... A small safe, you're going to pick it up. That's not the normal... you drag it out. That's not the normal way of doing it. So the Gemara says it's being a middle one. Meaning a middle one, some people do like this, some people do like that, some people drag it, some people pick it. So whichever way you do it, it's normal. So the Gemara says that 1 minute though. With the Afkilach, where did he carry it out to? Where did he carry it to? Ida Afkilach Shosarabim. If he carried out into a public domain, so then the problem is like this. Is the Shabbos, he desecrated Shabbos, but is the Geneva Lekka, he didn't steal it. Why? The Gemara says not like this. You mentioned this, by the way, before. The Gemara says like this. How can I acquire this object? An animal, like we were discussing before, yeah? If I want to, like an ox, yeah? If I want to sell you my, in the old times, they sold oxes and horses and donkeys and all that. Okay. If I sell you my ox, how are you going to acquire it?
You have to move it.
You can't pick it up.
Can you lean on it?
No. Well, but you have to.
Pull it.
Now, you have to. So then there's something called meshicha. Meshicha means you pull it. Or even if you hit it and it moves 6 feet because of your hitting, or you call the animal. Hey, boy, come here. And the animal moved 6 feet because of you, you acquired it. But this, you can't acquire by dragging it. Because that's not the normal way of acquiring it. Not about Shabbos, just in acquisitions. Acquisitions mean you have to acquire the normal way of acquiring it. Correct? Now, if I drag this out, I'm not going to acquire it. This small object, I can only acquire by picking it up. So the Gemara's question is like this, 1 minute. If the guy drags out the wallet into the street, into a public domain,
right.
Yeah?
Gary.
So then he desecrated Shabbos. But he didn't acquire it. Why? Because the Gemara thinks now, dragging doesn't help in a public domain. That's what the Gemara thinks now. The Gemara's going to change it later. But right now the Gemara thinks, you can't, it's not the normal way of acquiring something in a public domain. By dragging it.
Correct.
And because this wallet is not the normal way, or even the middle-sized wallet, where people do drag, but the Gemara says, the Gemara thinks now, in a public domain, you can't acquire an object that way, by dragging it. So the Gemara says, 1 minute, you never stole it then. If I steal your safe, and I'm dragging it, so then when I pull it out the door, I desecrated Shabbos. Correct? Because I carried from private to public. But I never acquired it to steal it. So why do I have to pay for it at all? I never stole it.
What a loophole.
No, so the Gemara says like this. And if, 1 second, and if the guy dragged it to his private domain, then he acquired it.
And he didn't break Shabbos.
But he didn't break Shabbos.
Right.
Because carrying from private to private is no desecration of Shabbos if there's no public in the middle.
And he acquired it, and he acquired it because it's in his house now.
Right.
Without stealing it.
That's what I'm saying. So he stole, but he doesn't have to, he didn't desecrate Shabbos.
Ah.
So therefore he should have to pay for it, because if he gets killed, then you don't have to pay for it. But if you're not getting killed, then you don't have to pay for it. So if he's carrying it from private to private, yeah, he's stealing it,
but
he's not desecrating Shabbos. He's not going to get killed. If he's not going to get killed, he has to pay for the wallet.
Unless he stopped in the middle?
No, the Gemara says like this. Tzricha, the Afke Letzidei Rosh Hashanah. He carried it to the sides of the public domain. Meaning like, what are the sides of the public domain mean? It means like this.
Carmelites?
What?
Not Carmelites.
It, well, we will see. It's a machlekes is what it is. Meaning like this. Where houses border public thoroughfares, I'm just reading to explain it. It's common to place boulders or other obstacles in the public domain to serve as a buffer that prevents wagons from banging into the walls of the houses.
Right.
Okay? This space, the buffer space, is called the sides of the public domain, mm-hmm. which means like this.
Like a bike lane.
Yeah, like a bike lane or something. Basically, what the Gemara is saying, what it means conceptually, the public doesn't walk there. Unless if it's really busy street, then they'll go there also. But it's not a real public domain. Okay? So the Gemara is going to say, it's speaking, he took the purse out, by dragging the purse, he desecrates Shabbos, and over there the Chacham said, you do acquire it. In a public domain, the Gemara's question was, in a public domain, you can't acquire something by dragging it. But this is not a real public domain. It's like a mamzer public domain. So therefore, the Chacham said like this, it's desecration of Shabbos, because it is still a public thoroughfare, even though the public doesn't walk there on a regular basis. But stealing, you're quiet, because in the sides of the public domain, the Chacham said there you could acquire an animal by dragging it, or the
you're
purse.
You're talking about the space between the house and the buffer?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So the Gemara says like this, 1 minute, there's an argument if the sides of the street are public or private. So the Gemara says, Ike Rabbi Eliezer says, see the Rishusaram, Kishusaram Dami, that the side, the buffer zone, we'll call it the buffer zone, is a public domain. So again, he desecrated Shabbos, but he never acquired the wallet. This is what the Gemara is asking, because again, it's a public place. If it's a public place, you can't acquire by dragging in a public place. And if you hold like the other opinion that says that the side of the street, the buffer zone, is not a public domain, so then you never desecrated Shabbos, but you stole. So again, how do you have the simultaneously desecration of Shabbos and stealing at the same time? So Gemara says an interesting concept. For Shabbos, it's considered a public domain, and therefore you desecrated Shabbos. But for acquiring it, it's called a private domain. That's what Gemara is going to answer. Le'elam ki Rabbi Eliezer. V'chi omer Rabbi Eliezer tzidir reshus adam ki reshus adabim. When did Rabbi Eliezer say the buffer zone? The side of the street as it didn't like the street. The inyan chayuv of Shabbos. As far as Shabbos desecration goes. Why? The zim in the dach kerabim, sometimes when there's heavy traffic, the people push in, go into the buffer zone. V'hayla l'asam, avalenya mikne, but as far as acquiring things, it's not considered a public domain, it's considered a private domain. My time adol is shchicharabim, because people are not there, and therefore the Chacham said you could acquire things there. Okay? So therefore, meshicha, acquiring it is effective, and desecration of Shabbos it is also. So you have both things together. Now the Gemara's question like this. If it's public, then dragging is not going to help.
Right.
So you never acquired it to
why
steal.
Why is it considered a private then all of a sudden?
Well, I mean, because the Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer's opinion mm-hmm. that says, because the Chachamim hold, the rabbis that argue against him, which is the halacha by the way, is that the buffer zone
yeah.
is not a public domain. That's what they hold.
What part is the buffer zone?
Exactly. I told you, if they make, you know, sometimes some of the shuls have these, those, things to protect it.
Fences?
From terrorists. No,
gates.
For the Beth Jacob, right. Yeah, they have those
gates.
Things. Not
yeah.
gates, they're those buffer zones.
Yeah,
yeah?
Zone.
Okay. So between that and that shul, let's say, would be what's called Sidir Shasarabin. They don't want people banging. You understand, years ago, you know, the houses, mamish went to the street.
Right.
Right? So they didn't want stores and mamish next to the street, right?
No sidewalks.
No sidewalks, no sidewalks.
The city's like that. City.
Huh?
The city's like that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no sidewalks.
There's no sidewalks.
Who knows? Manhattan, you don't see anything anyway. So the house is here, and the house would go straight to the street, right? So people didn't want wagons banging into the street.
Mm, sure.
So they put a buffer zone. Okay, like walls, a shtickle wall, a barrier, whatever. That the wagons and the horses shouldn't bang into the house. You know what happens?
Sure,
keep, okay.
Yeah.
Now, what is that buffer zone? Rabbi Eliezer says it's public. Therefore, if somebody carries from the store or the house to the buffer zone, it's called desecration of Shabbos because you carried from private to public.
Okay.
Chachamim say, no, that's a private domain.
Private
domain. It's not a public, people don't go there. Okay. It's not a public thoroughfare.
You hold by that?
That's what the Chachamim hold. Okay. So according to them, if you carry from the house to the buffer zone, you carry from private to private. You didn't carry from public to
Okay.
You carry from private to private.
Okay.
Right? So the Gemara asks like this. If you're pulling out this safe, yeah? So, and the Gemara answers, speaking to the sides of the street. Because the Gemara's question was, if you're carrying from private to public, you can't acquire it in the public.
Why not?
Because that's the law. You can't acquire something by dragging it in the public domain.
Why?
That's what the halach is. You can't, the Chum never instituted that. No, we said it's only in a private domain. Now, so the Gemara says, if I carry it out like this, so Shabbos they desecrated, but they never stole it, because they never acquired it. So the Gemara, right, so that doesn't make sense. So therefore the Gemara learns the case is, he didn't drag it out to the public domain, he carried it out, he dragged it out to the buffer zone. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. If it's a public domain, then it's public. If it's a private domain, it's private. So again, it's either Shabbos or carrying or stealing, one of the two. So Gemara says no. He carried it out to the buffer zone. For Shabbos, it's considered a public domain, like Rabbi Eliezer says, because sometimes people push in over there. As far as acquiring it, it's not a private domain, public domain. It's a private domain, and therefore you're acquiring it. So therefore, when the guy schleps out the safe, the middle size safe or wallet, whatever, into the buffer zone. So for Shabbos carrying, he carried from private to public. But as far as acquiring it, it's called private, and therefore he could acquire it.
Couldn't you argue that this is, so to speak, a convenient way of of catching people?
No, it's not a nice convenient way of catching people. The question is, what din does it have?
Okay, but why does it have that din? I don't understand. Why do they decide that way?
Because
for Shabbos is this way, but not for stealing it this way.
Not for stealing, for acquiring it.
For acquiring.
It's like when you put a hole in a public roadway, it becomes yours when you put the hole in there, you become responsible for it. But even though it's a public...
But why, in other words, why do they decide to make it, different for each... Each situation. For Shabbos, it's this way, and for this,
you have analogy? The same.
What?
I'm sorry, I didn't know what you said.
If you put a hole in the middle of the street is not yours, but you acquire the hole.
That's only to be reliable.
I own
Beverly. Yeah.
I stuck a big hole in it.
You're responsible for it.
No. Yeah. No, he means a din of bur. He's right.
Is that right? You own that hole?
No, only that you're liable if something falls into
right.
it.
Right, you're liable for the
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, but
I would imagine, so.
It says like this. Listen.
Yeah, you're making the whole thing.
There's a concept of acquiring things.
Right.
Okay? Chum said, it's not the normal way of acquiring, like he says over here. What's the concept of acquiring something? Mm-hmm. The concept of acquiring something is, I take it from you to me.
Right.
You're giving me something, you're selling me something, whatever it may be.
Right.
Or I'm stealing something.
Right.
I acquire it by showing change of ownership. Correct?
Yeah.
Now, so normally, the way an acquisition has to be done, it's going from your domain to my domain.
Right.
Now,
if
I'm doing it
private
in a public domain.
Private to private or private to public?
No, from your domain to my domain. You're selling me something, you're giving me something.
Is that a private to private or private to public?
Private? I'm not public. Private to private.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
From your ownership to my ownership. What's acquisition? Acquisition is, it's going from me to you. From my possession to your possession.
Mm-hmm.
That's the concept of acquiring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Chachamim said, later the Gemara is going to change their mind anyway, with this thing. But right now the Gemara thought, you can't pull something in a public domain. Let's say you want to sell me your horse, or give me your cow, whatever. Sell me a cow or ox, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If I, let's say we make the deal in the street. We're both standing in the street.
Okay.
You say, here, acquire my cow.
Fine.
Say, one second. I say, okay, I'm going to pull it.
And?
Pulling it in the street shows no ownership of my owner.
Really?
Unless it goes inside your house.
Unless it goes inside my house.
I got you. Okay.
Okay? If I pick something up in the street, then it is good because now it's going from your ownership to my ownership. Because I'm picking it up. You held it, now I hold it.
As far as the cow goes.
But as far as dragging, the way the Gemara thinks now.
Talking about the cow or talking about the safe?
It doesn't matter if it's something that you normally cannot pick up.
Okay, so cow.
A cow. Okay. Okay? So then, when I acquire it in a public domain, it doesn't show any sign of ownership of my part.
Okay.
But the Chum said, if it's not a real public domain, it's a semi-public domain.
How does that
and I pull it because I show I'm pulling it to myself now. It's not a public thoroughfare where everybody's walking. It's a semi-public domain.
What's semi-public domain?
Because not everybody's walking there. It's a buffer zone.
So it's like a street like this?
No, this is a public domain, let's say.
But not everybody's walking here.
Okay, so there's a question. You need 600,000 people, is it? But
so maybe
it
would be the parking space.
But we're talking about a semi-private domain. So over there, the Gemara says, then pulling it will acquire it because it is a sign of going from you to me. In a public, total public place, the way the Gemara thinks now, and again, the Gemara is going to change it later. The way the Gemara thinks now, the person cannot acquire it because it's no sign, there's no sign of going from you to me.
Unless it's something you pick up that you normally pick up.
Right. Okay. Understand? So therefore, the Gemara answers like this. When the guy drags it out, this buffer zone, as far as Shabbos goes, Rabbi Eliezer says it's a public domain.
If he goes past it.
No, into the buffer zone.
Okay.
Because why? Because it's part of the street, and people do walk there when there's heavy traffic.
So it's a public domain.
So it's for Shabbos, it's called carrying from a private to public. Okay. But as far as acquiring things, then the halacha says, Rabbi Eliezer says, you could acquire it because it's not a totally public place. It's like semi-public, semi-private. So for acquisitions, the Chum said, it's enough private to show that I'm acquiring
it. Enough to show your intention.
But as far as carrying is concerned, it's a public domain.
I still don't understand that part, though. The part about the Shabbos I get totally.
Don't do any business on Sabbath.
No, no, no. The part I understand is the Shabbos. But the part I understand is how can you call a public domain a semi-private domain? It's not semi-private, it's public. Obviously people walk there. I walk there, you walk there. How can you then call it a semi-private domain? It's not.
The buffer zone is semi-private.
The buffer zone semi-private?
Right. Yeah.
Only the buffer
zone. Only the buffer zone I'm talking about.
Oh, only
the buffer zone. Only the buffer zone.
Between the pylons and the house.
All of these some complex?
Okay. So in other words, we're saying that the buffer zone acts as kind of like...
Sometimes it's easier.
We didn't do a page.
So you're saying that if a person drags something out into the street, into the buffer zone, it goes from a private to a private. So he's acquiring it.
Yeah, but as far as Shabbos is concerned, the buffer zone is public.
Considered public, yeah.
Okay.
So that he's guilty of being Mechal Shabbos.
Right.
It's not a double standard.
And then it's coming simultaneously.
It's not a double standard?
Desecration. No.
You sure?
So what comes simultaneously now?
The desecration of Shabbos and stealing. So then we learned, if you get killed, then you don't have to pay for what you stole. Or you're damaged. So but that was before you guys came.
Okay.
What?
It's difficult. When first, I've never been introduced to this stuff.
Well, that's what yeshiva, this is what yeshiva bachim do a whole day. And by the way, we're just learning the Gemara. We're not even learning the commentaries on the side.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying.
That's where it gets complicated. This is not complicated. When you start the commentaries on the side, that's where it gets complicated.
Consider the commentary.
And then the commentary is in the back of the book. And like that's what yeshiva boys do all day.
You know what? This is a way for complex thinking. This is good for young men, and I think this is what it's made for.
It's made for young men under the age of 120 is young. Okay.
It does sharpen your mind, that's for sure.
It does.
It makes you think.
That's why the best lawyers are yeshiva boys.
That's
why the best lawyers are yeshiva boys. Okay. Now Rav Ashi is going to answer a whole different answer to the original question.
Okay.
This was one answer. The question is, when the guy dragged the purse, so the Gemara's question was, the desecration of Shabbos is there, but he's not acquiring it because dragging is not going to work in a public domain, right?
Right.
Okay, so Rav Ashi says another answer. Kagain should see if Yodi Lamata Mishleisha Vikibli. Okay, now. The guy was dragging it out. Okay, I need to explain a few things. We're not going to get into this. We're going to have to do it next week again. But, I mean, this part. But, no, the introduction, though, we need to understand. There's a din within 9 inches of something is connected. It's halacha l'Moshe Sinai. Okay, it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. For instance, we learned this by Sukkah, we learned this by Dinim of Shabbos. If I have a wall to enclose a backyard, well, I'm going off just to explain it in a very simple way. You have a wall that's a backyard to make it a private domain. Because if your backyard is completely open, there's no walls, it's not a private domain.
Right.
Okay. Now, in order to make, I need to have a wall. What happens if I have a board? I don't have solid wall. Okay? Or take, for instance, a chain link fence. Okay, the chain link fence. Now, question is, there's a lot of empty space there. Why is that a wall?
Fence?
Huh?
Oh, chain link fence?
Yeah.
Because of all the holes in space.
Yeah, it's a lot of space. Right. Why is that a wall?
Right. Well, because you can't walk through
going
it.
Around.
You
like
can't walk through it.
And
you like can't
through
transfer
so what?
Stuff from one
but
to
that
the
doesn't make it a wall.
That's
why it has to be it should be a solid wall. Or
why is the concept
listen,
of Erev is
what happens if I put a stick up and another stick up and another stick up
yeah.
and another stick
and
up.
That's
okay.
a wall.
Okay. Is that called a wall?
It's a fence.
So
it
did,
yes.
No. It depends.
It depends on the
if one stick
is within 9 inches
of the next stick,
then
it's considered connected. So if I have a stick, 8 inches a stick, 8 inches a stick, 8 inches a stick, 8 inches a stick, I can go all around my property like that, and it's considered a solid wall.
So what about in the rule?
Maybe it's a different concept. I'm talking about walls now.
Okay.
The same thing by a sukkah. Okay. Within 9 inches, it's considered connected. You have a wall of a sukkah. Then you have the schach. Correct?
Correct.
If the schach ends more than 9 inches away from the wall, that's not a wall of the sukkah anymore.
Uh-huh.
So this wall cannot be counted.
Right.
If it's within 9 inches, let's say it's 5 inches away from the wall, it's considered connected.
Thank you for clarifying.
Now, if you have a wall coming down, okay, yep. and the wall ends more than 9 inches off the ground, I don't have a wall. Because it didn't go to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If it goes to the ground.
Right. But it's less than 9 inches from the ground.
It's less than 9 inches from the ground. It's considered connected to the ground. So I got a wall to the ground. Okay? Now, in order, when you want to acquire something, it has to be on a place that's 12 inches by 12 inches. What is called putting something down? It has to be, the Gemara says, on a place 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. Tefach is, let's say, 3 inches. It has to be, let's say, I'll give you an example. What happens if there's a very thin stick in the street that's 2 inches?
In diameter. Yeah.
And I carry something from my house and I put it onto that stick. Halachically, I never put it down in the street.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because what?
The surface is too small.
It's too small. It's not called putting down. Putting down is when you put something on.
Oh,
surface. The platform.
The platform at least 12
something
inches.
Something that would be normally accepted as
at
a surface.
At least 12 inches by 12 inches.
Minimum requirement.
One of the din of the Gemara is going to come up, and I'm saying it now, we're going to have to get into this next week. I'm just giving it an introduction to it. The hand of a person is considered 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. Even though my hand is maybe, whatever.
Because it's made for
it's
that
definitely
purpose.
Not 12, my hand for
it's
sure.
Made
not
for
12
that.
Inches by 12 inches.
It's made for that purpose.
No, because the Gemara, the Rambam, the Gemara says, but the Rambam explains why.
Why?
Because the hand can hold something that something 12 inches by 12 inches can hold.
Right.
The hand is powerful enough, huh? Balancing everything.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So a hand, just practically speaking, this is, by the way, halacha l'mishum is seen. It's all given Meshur Benar Sinai. But the Rambam says a logic for it in the Mishnah. It has the power equal to something. Now, if the guy is stealing over here, he's pulling it out, and then while he's pulling it out, he sticks his hand under the thing when it leaves the public domain.
The private domain.
When it leaves the, right, I'm sorry, leaves the private domain into this. Now, once it's in my hand, I'm acquiring it. And once it's in my hand, he just desecrated Shabbos because he just put it down. Simultaneously putting it down, the Gemara's question was, how do you acquire it? Because dragging is not going to be good. So why is it? Because the guy puts his second hand there. And when I drag it out, it goes straight onto my hand. So then I stole it when it got into my hand.
And you desecrated
it. And I desecrated Shabbos because now it was put down. Simultaneously, I'm desecrating Shabbos and stealing it. So that's another scenario where you have it.
Assuming he puts it in his pocket.
That's what the case is.
Oh. Oh, that was the case.